Welcome to Trending. This is Timory Millington. That is Chris Mueller, my co-host. You probably heard the announcement last week. He is now part of Trending.
Yeah, you are stuck with me. It's going to be a weekly thing, people.
A weekly thing. Also, we're sitting here watching Facebook Live creep in on us along with YouTube. And man, you mentioned before the show, Facebook is being hammered this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, and I think rightfully so. And most of us go on there and we forget that the product Facebook is selling is not Facebook. Mm. It's us. I mean, that's how they make their money. They collect our data and then they sell it. And they got caught, man. Hand in the cookie jar.
It's like, no, I will not tell you what I'm eating for breakfast, but we do.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it's super weird. I think what the story that came out, obviously this is a big political story. I don't want to get too deep into those waters. But then they came out with just recently, too, they've been collecting data on texts and phone calls from Android users as well.
But like then they're
all
saying
all of your data.
You agreed to that. That's what they're saying. You know, that's when we don't read the fine print. I remember my dad used to always say, Timory, read it all. I have a question for him. I wonder if he actually does now with all of the things you click I agree to just to get through and install something.
Right. Okay. So consent implies informed consent, right? You have to be able, A, to understand the language that's written in, and B, make that decision. And so I think you could argue that Facebook knows nobody reads it. I mean, they can see how long people mm-hmm. look at that consent agreement and they're clicking it. And so I think you could very well argue that they know there's no informed consent. People are just clicking and assuming, and they need to make it more explicit, more understandable.
You know where I'm kind of surprised? Facebook gathers so much data, but Google Drive, Google Gmail, all of these products are totally free. And I will tell you, my life is on Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I could go anywhere without my phone. But if Google Drive were to go down, oh dear.
I am so deep in the Google universe because I got Gmail, I've got YouTube, I've got my Google Drive. I mean, oh yeah, they have got their hands all in my business.
Yeah, we haven't really heard a ton about them breaching, right, our confidence and our privacy with information.
Right, but again, they are data collection agencies. That's
right.
What they do.
We can't forget that.
Want to get into Alexa listening to you all the time. I mean, it's a weird world we live in.
Creepy. We were talking about Alexa a couple weeks ago on air. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. The next day in studio, Alexa did not work for me. She kept beaming a red light instead of a blue light. And I was like, this is what happens when I talk about
Don't
you
talk
online.
About Alexa. She'll get even.
She's listening.
No, yeah.
Is listening.
She ain't going to play. Yeah.
Well, you know, as this week's been going on, I've been looking at the news, and I have to tell you, this is kind of, I'm not a fan of this show at all. I've actually never watched it, but Kardashians, isn't it? It's called something like Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Keeping Up with the Kardashians, yes.
Never seen an episode, but boy, I have a lot of peers who are obsessed with them. People who even say, I probably shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah, I have watched the show. It was years ago. We got rid of cable. We got rid of cable because of the Kardashians, but it is amazing how much influence this particular family has on our modern culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have to acknowledge that they are massive influencers, that young people do watch them and see what they're wearing, see what they're saying, see what they're watching or what they're listening to. And that plays a big part in the decision-making process of the young people who are watching. And I think we all get sucked in by that. Oh, their lives, this is a train wreck and ha-ha, soap opera. And then all of a sudden, we're going for the same facial treatments. You know, it's bizarre.
Well, and it's true. And I remember last fall, late into the fall, there started to be rumor, oh, is Kylie Jenner pregnant? She's pulled out of the limelight. She's 19 years old. You know, Perez Hilton started commenting, she should just abort her baby. You know, who would want, basically, Kylie Jenner as a mom? Look at her family. Look at, like, the train wreck of her sisters. And this woman, I mean, I just look at her and people are publicly saying, you should abort your child. Your child would be better off. And, you know, you think, oh man, people are so pro-woman in the pro-abortion movement, so they say, yet here they are saying she should abort her child because she's not good and that child would suffer. It's a little bit of a conversation about the baby too here.
Right.
And I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I think there's the unmasking that pro-choice really isn't about choice. It's about pro-abortion.
Right.
I mean, you know, and while it was a great marketing ploy to say we're pro-choice, the choice is abortion, it's pro-abortion. You know, I got to give the Kardashians some credit as a family, because when something like this arises on the show, you know, you read the stories, you read how they really pull together as a family to support one another. And I think there's a great example there amidst all of the other example. But, you know, praise God, Kylie had the baby, you know,
right.
She chose life.
And I think that's a conversation a lot of people are having that, well, you know, it's real, it's truthful, and at least there's a family element to it, and they have each other's backs. And I see that. And man, you look at Kylie and there is this obsession with the family though. I remember, I think it was in the new year, there was this Calvin Klein underwear ad that came out and all the Kardashian sisters are there and Kylie Jenner is kind of like covered up, her stomach's covered. And man, online it was the number one trending thing. People were freaking out. Why is her stomach covered? Is she actually pregnant? Because it wasn't 100% confirmed, yeah. But rumor had it. People figured, okay, she's pregnant. And it just made me think about this desire for the mystery of the woman's body and how here her body's slightly covered. They think she may be pregnant, but how fascinating that they're so curious when there's a baby there. They're curious when she's not covered for once, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I was at the mall yesterday and there was a young woman in these like really incredibly short kind of jean shorts. And essentially she's walking around the mall in underwear made of jeans. And I just, it struck me like, when did that become normal? Like, what is the context for which this is normal, right? Right. That we're walking around with your cheeks hanging out in the mall.
Thank you.
And I just kind of say, you know, yeah, it's funny. That is that the story reverses itself. Like that there's a social media uproar because she's not completely uncovered. Like when did that become the normal state of womanhood, is that you go around completely exposed all the time?
You probably haven't heard me say this before, but I had a moment when I was at the mall probably about 5-6 years ago with a friend or younger sister and her mom, and this family walks by, a mom and her two daughters, and the girl's butt cheeks are hanging out. And it was one of like the first times it was just really bad that I had seen. I don't go to the mall a lot, and I'm like blinking, sitting there looking, and I go, does she know her butt cheeks are hanging out? And it was so funny because everyone shushed me like, Timory, that's not appropriate to say it. But I'm like, does her mom know she's walking with
her? Right, the mom is there, and you're thinking, what is that lady doing? You know, and I I've got young daughters who are emerging into womanhood, and you know, helping them navigate those waters is a big part of what parents do, right? And so when they're trying things on or exploring the power of their person, you're like, no, that's not right. How we go out into the world. You know, you don't want to lead with look at my body. You want to lead with get to know me.
Right.
You know?
Now here, Kylie Jenner is though kind of going against the culture. Grant, she is having, you know, baby, she's got her baby daddy, unfortunately, you know, prayers for them and their family, but she chose to have her baby. She's 20 years old now. You know, the baby's just a month old. And one of the first things she does to kind of to publicly bring herself back into the limelight again is basically she ends up putting this tribute to her child of this 10-minute long video that comes out on YouTube. And you see, you know, Kylie from her childhood growing up, and then you see the ultrasound, you see them obsessing over the baby in utero's fingers and toes, and you go, here is a pro-life story taking place.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think particularly we talked about this story, you know, I think last week where people are having less children and we've kind of had this demographic demise because we've taken all the wonder out of children. Mm. You know, we've taken and children have just become something that's thrust upon you. But man, there is something so incredibly beautiful about those, you know, 9 months of pregnancy as you're wondering, as you're wanting to know, as you know, the first glimpse in the first sonogram when you just see a little jelly bean essentially, you know, and as they get bigger and you start counting fingers and toes and, you know, and there's something that's so magical about that, that is so beautiful about that. And so, yeah, to see a celebrity, you know, who is kind of leading this kind of this Instagram, this Facebook kind of look at me movement, but then also to see her then just enraptured in someone else, something else. Something new.
Yeah, yeah. And you made me remember when I was a little kid, I remember, you know, I'm the oldest of four kids. And when my mom would be talking, I'm like, okay, how big is the baby? Because I mean, like you look the same. And I was obsessed with this. I remember one point, you know, when my mom found out she was pregnant really early, she kind of like takes the tip of her pen and she points, she's like, the baby is like that small, as big as the tip of your pen. It's like, whoa, yeah. This awe of the mystery of the development of the baby in the womb.
Yeah. Totally. You know, it's funny. We have, you know, we've got a bunch of kids. We just had a baby in December. And even now, watching him grow and his little personality assert itself and his siblings kind of rally around him. And, you know, so if there's anything I want to say, you know, in the Kylie Jenner story, it's God bless you. Thank you for sharing this wonder, this miracle right. of your child. Kardashians have overshared so much. But thank you for sharing this. So that a generation of young people can see, gosh, there is something wonderful and beautiful about this new life that's right. bigger than It's bigger than you.
Well, and I have to say, I know a young woman who intentionally got pregnant at the same time as Kylie Jenner. She's obsessed with Kylie. She's right around the same age as Kylie. And I know you're making this face looking at me going, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But this is a good, sweet Catholic young woman, got married young.
Okay, so she's married and got
she's
pregnant.
Married. She's
okay.
married. She's married. Okay, darn it. You know, that shocked. You just had a shocked father
I didn't know
face.
If this was someone who was like, I want to be like Kylie Jenner, so I got pregnant too. I was like, whoa, this is getting creepy. This is someone needs to be in therapy.
But here's the deal. I think that what's happened now in her post-birth sharing her story, because she kept it a mystery those 9 months, you know, just like pregnancy is, now everyone's going, what's it like? I'm terrified of having children. And Kylie's kind of started this online almost counseling of, yeah, it's great, you can do it. And she says at one point, we're made for this.
Yeah, I saw that. That was really impressive. I mean, and beautiful. It's true. I mean, you'll never know the wonder of womanhood apart, you know, that this is what women's bodies do. They have babies.
Right.
You know, I can't do it, you know.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
There was this mannequin at the mall for a number of months in La Jolla, and it was just some stupid store. And it's stupid to me because it had a mannequin. It was basically a female mannequin, but dressed up as a boy, and it was wearing boys' clothes. And I'm like, that's just not possible. It doesn't matter if you have a sex change. You will never have a true uterus. You are not made that way. You can't have children. It's a lie.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's a lie. And that's just the truth of what we're seeing in the culture. And here you see Kylie Jenner, and it really is the truth of this is the difference between men and women.
You can't deny it.
Bruce Jenner will never be able to have a child.
Oh, man, Bruce Jenner.
Don't get me started.
I just think we need to pray for him.
We do. We really do.
Yeah.
Well, hey, everyone. I hope you're enjoying the show. That's Chris Mueller. I'm Timory Millington. You can find our show on iTunes, iHeartRadio. Just look up Trending and share the show with other people. You know, the more you share it, the more access it is made accessible to other people. We'll be right back on Trending. Welcome back to Trending. This is Timory Millington. That's Chris Mueller. He can be found at chrismueller.co and myself at timory.com. What are you doing over there looking at the royal couple on that screen?
Oh boy, the royal couple. I am not a trend watcher of the royal couple, but it's interesting. That's an interesting story.
Yeah.
That is an interesting story that in very fairy tale, she's a commoner from America, and, you know, a disreputable actress, and she marries a prince. That's something, there's something neat about that.
Yeah, definitely a story. It's amazing to me. Scene, and I've talked about this on the show, the difference in generation from Queen Elizabeth and like the scandal of her sister Margaret not being able to marry a married man and then a formerly married man. You know, you have all these pieces, and then here it's totally cool for the royals. You know, she's living at Kensington Palace with Harry before they're married.
Wow, I didn't know that.
They're,
wow.
They're talking about going camping all the time together, and I'm like, oh, do they know?
Yeah. Very strange. You know, the thing about surfing the web is, I'm not a royal watcher. I am not a gossip seeker, but it doesn't matter. Whatever page you go to, they've got these ads that just on the bottom of the page, a lot of times they're just the most explicit or kind of nasty. It'll be something like, get your financial future in order. But it's a woman like with her glasses in her mouth and like a lot of cleavage. And like, I don't understand how that has anything to do with anything that I'm looking at or even what the title is. It's everywhere.
Well, and then there's fear depending on what the image is. You're like, I might be interested in what that article title is, but I'll pass.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not sure this is the kind of financial freedom I'm looking for.
You know? That you're liberated.
Yes, exactly. But it's weird. I mean, it's funny. Sex, it's not funny. It's true. Sex sells. If you look at the way they market cars, you know, the high edition is the EX, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and it does. And so I think, you know, the internet, it's become this thing where you always have these ads at the bottom of the page or on the banner. You can be at Fox News or you could be at, you know, the Washington Post, and you get these sex ads. I mean, they're not necessarily about, you know, sex websites are one thing, but they're using sexuality to get you to click. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
it's annoying.
I always see those ads of sexy singles in Mira Mesa looking for a one night stand, like all these different things. Like, you see the ads, but then what's happening right now is actually here in the United States, lawmakers are kind of pushing back against this. There's been a huge movement to address specifically groups like what's a Craigslist, mm-hmm. who has these sexual ads on the side. You have other groups, I think like Reddit, among others, that there's a huge crackdown taking place saying, okay, you know, you cannot be directing toward this sexually explicit content anymore, and you're held responsible.
Well, I mean, you look at Craigslist, for instance. I mean, they weren't just having ads on the side. I mean, the outright ads were for sex, right? And just using coded language to do it. And that question of whether or not you're responsible for the content on your message board, you know, comes into play here. But yeah, I think Washington, or again, I am not a pro regulation guy. However, right. I do think some regulation makes sense. Like we should be making sure that people are not being exploited, or that addictive substances are not being pushed for, you know, vulnerable populations. So for instance, right. We know that sex and pornography is addictive, right? We know that. Are we protecting vulnerable populations from it, young people in particular, you know?
Well, and you were going in a direction a second ago. You're talking about the ads and the different, you know, content information at the bottom of a website. Well, that's exactly what is being targeted right now. Groups like Taboola, Outbrain, and Rev Content are basically groups that try to generate content recommendations for your site. It's a way of making money, essentially.
Right.
And so these ads are being targeted saying, hey, these are actually somewhat sexually explicit. And people are saying it's soft porn, it's hard porn. You guys, no difference. If you were making that distinction, I'm sorry, but just shut up for a second.
Right.
Like, it's porn is porn is porn. But what's happening is some of these basically content recommendation organizations like Rev Content are actually working to eradicate all the sexually explicit content that they have allowed to filter through. And they're partnering with groups like the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, which is pretty awesome to see, is one of the responses of the Me Too movement.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So the Me Too movement has obviously exploded, and, you know, I think we're really addressing things that had been kind of the moldy underside of Hollywood and politics and all of this stuff. But yeah, to see now we're going to making some real substantive changes that we're not exploiting people or exploiting for sales or for advertising is great. Yeah. I'm looking at Rev Content. It says they had maturity filters, right? And that, so they would, you know, I guess they would decide what you were ready for. I don't know how they would know that. Or, you know, but they now they're not going to be putting anything over maturity level 3, which included sexually objectifying images. So that they're going to be filtering
that.
Age 3. I hope they don't mean, maybe it's age 3. I don't know. But I mean, it's, yeah, but who decides, right? Like,
yes. And that's the issue.
Right.
Well, and that's where you were talking about. We're not for myself either personally, all of this regulation, but there's something to be said. Me Too movement is saying, hey, we need to wake up and look at what are we allowing to take place right now. And I think that this is an excellent opportunity for each and every single one of us to respond. If major media corporations are responding to the Me Too movement, if we're seeing some laws passed regarding sexual content, this is a trendy topic. So maybe you are in a workplace environment and there's an issue taking place. Maybe this is a time where you recommend hosting a seminar or having a higher level of protocol on how to live out that protocol in the office. Or here's a thought. Kids are struggling with pornography. We know this feeds into the entire issue. It's been made explicitly clear by some of the top media personalities. So how about you host at your work a pornography education program for how to talk to your kids about porn? I know that's one of the things I talk about, and you can do it without talking about faith. Maybe you bring us in to talk at your workplace environment because it's trendy. And I think people would be willing to do it because of Me Too right now.
No, absolutely. I think we've kicked open a door in our culture to say there's a real problem that needs to be addressed.
Right.
You know, and again, I'm not a pro-regulation guy, I think, but I regulate myself.
Right.
I regulate my own home. Right? And so like on the computer I'm using right now here in the studio, I've got Covenant Eyes on it, which is a content blocker, right? I've got ad blockers on my computer to try to block some of this stuff going on because I'm regulating my consumption. I'm regulating the consumption of my family because we're trying to get this, because I know I can't rely on big business and I can't rely on government to regulate that for me because they have an incentive to sell me as much stuff or get my eyes as many pages so they can sell advertising on it. And they know hardwired into humanity is this desire for the other, right? Men are seeking women, women are seeking men, and so they're going to try to exploit that, and they do. So I think in addition to doing those awareness seminars, I think we also have to be very proactive in our own lives to say, okay, I'm not going to rely on the government or businesses to regulate this. I need to regulate this.
And I think that's awesome to see a man taking responsibility for this, because I have to say, Chris, something that I came to realize, I'm very blessed being a woman, because guess what? The pornography companies still aren't totally targeting me. So they somehow know you are a man looking at internet content. I am amazed to look at the difference between me standing behind my screen sometimes when someone's browsing or trying to show me something and me standing behind a man's screen. And part of me is like, do you look at pornography now and again that this is popping up?
You sure. Know? Yeah.
No, they're targeting men, young men, old men. It doesn't matter. And so one of the things we as women, without condemning, saying, hey, are you looking at that? Of, hey, let's talk about the fact that you're being targeted and what can you do?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I got rid of Pinterest, so I've got this content blocker. And one of the sites I said that no one in my family's allowed to look at except for my wife is Pinterest. Because I realized that when I would scroll on Pinterest, it was showing me more sexually explicit stuff than if I log on to her user. Because mine designates as a man and I like comic books and things. Apparently it decided because you're a dude who likes comic books, you need to look at boobs. I don't know. But it started throwing this stuff at me. So I'm like, I don't want to have that. I don't want my eighth grader tripping into this stuff. So we just blocked it on everybody.
You just admitted you are a comic book nerd. DC or Marvel?
I tend to... Okay, that's a really tough one. Because I have had this childhood affinity for Batman. I love Batman. However, I just have really so enjoyed this Marvel renaissance that Disney's been doing. At this point, I'd have to say I'm more Marvel, but I will always love Batman above all.
Batman's definitely my favorite, but Arrow is a very close second. But he's not one of, you know, the typical...
Can we say that Arrow is just a poor man's Batman?
Okay, I totally agree. Arrow is just like Batman, but he was originally rich. He started off with a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying.
Totally. You know, it's funny because my mom and brother right now are like totally like it's a topic they can't talk about because my mom grew up with DC Comics. She loves DC and seeing it come to life, she's like, this is what DC has been building toward. And my brother loves Captain America and Marvel. And so they started arguing over it. And so now they've decided it's just the topic they don't discuss.
Yeah, I had an argument with my sixth grade daughter's friend in the car the other day about this. I mean, I'm not above that. She was very pro Iron Man and I was leaning more Captain America. And I said, Iron Man's just a little bit scuzzy. And Iron Man is basically Batman, but with less morality.
Mm.
You know, yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
More tech.
More tech.
Iron Man has tech.
Well, Batman has a lot of tech. Mm. We are so far afield right now.
We're so off. Typical DC versus Marvel. It's what it comes down to every conversation. Yeah. Well, you know, still in light of these ads, one of the cool things we're seeing, Craigslist has totally removed all personal ads from the section of their website, which is really good given the bill that's come out preventing this sex trafficking, pro-sex trafficking type of content that's been allowed. Now, Grant, some of the responses to Reddit and Craigslist filtering the ads is, well, now you're reducing people back to being streetwalkers again. And so basically people are arguing that we should allow for the regulation of sexually explicit content because it keeps the prostitutes safer. But I have to say, at the end of the day, if someone is willing to sexually exploit you, and Grant, yes, prostitutes do have a high level of being murdered, right? I don't think that whether or not they found you online versus walking on the street is going to make that big of a difference.
Right. And again, you know, you look at the realities of prostitution, and oftentimes those people are already in very dangerous situations. It's not the young woman posting the ad. It's the person who's forced them into human trafficking who's posting the ad. It's a person who's taking them from hotel room to hotel room to hotel room,
right,
who's posting those ads. What we should be doing is we should be helping women out of a situation where they find themselves selling their bodies for money and trying to get them the social services that they can get themselves into a life that's going to give them a better long-term outcome.
Right. And, you know, one of the areas that's really a first responder to this truly are the crisis pregnancy centers. I can't tell you how many women we would come into contact with who were some way involved in some sort of sex work, whether it's voluntarily or non-voluntarily. And we saw some major sting operations take place where, you know, sex houses, sex trafficking houses were shut down. Praise the Lord. And this is why, you know, helping to support those crisis pregnancy centers is huge right now. And remember, praying for that Supreme Court case to protect crisis pregnancy centers from promoting abortion. We'll be right back. This is Trending. Trending on Facebook here, and we're going to get to this in just a second, is I was just put in front of our faces that Planned Parenthood is now saying, hey, we need a Disney princess that has an abortion. We'll be talking about that in just a second. But before we do, shout out to the awesome sponsors we've had for the last couple months for Trending, Radiant and Valiant Magazine. And yours truly has written an article for the latest magazine titled Faith for Radiant. And it talks a little bit about the tie-in for me between my dancing and my faith and how important it's been. Also has some fun pictures of me having danced many years ago. Boy, resurrecting old dance photos prior to everything being on Google Drive online. Oh my gosh, took a long time.
Oh, sweet mercy.
Oh, yes, not fun. But, whoa, there's loud noise, earthquake taking place. Just kidding. Don't put that on trending. But what I want to do is actually do a giveaway. Radiant Magazine is giving a shout out for one copy of Faith Magazine. So if you are interested, I'd like you to go ahead in order to get involved and be chosen to be the winner of this magazine. I want you to hop on either Facebook or Instagram. Make sure that you're following both Chris and I, and then tag Chris, myself, and Radiant Magazine in the post when you share your favorite episode of Trending Online. Maybe why, what topics it was covering. Maybe you resurrect an old episode. It's been a little while. So again, tagging Chris, myself, and Radiant Magazine and sharing your favorite episode.
Sweet.
And this is, you have up until Sunday, so Divine Mercy Sunday after Easter. So take your time, tag us up. We'd love to hear from you, especially what you're enjoying.
Yeah, totally.
Whatever you're enjoying. But I just mentioned a second ago, online we see trending right now, Planned Parenthood wants a Disney princess that has an abortion. Totally age-appropriate content, not.
Yeah, and this is Planned Parenthood Kentucky, and they are social media idiots. I mean, they've posted some wonderful stuff before. I think that one time their post was, not all women have a uterus, which is, I guess, true if someone had a hysterectomy, but anyway, I don't think that's what they were implying.
All real women had a uterus.
Right.
I think that
might be more. But it's interesting that, so that has been trending on. They've actually since then pulled the tweet because they did, obviously, I think they caught some fire from it. Ben Shapiro had given them a little bit of fire, which I thought was interesting, came back. And then someone had tweeted at him, when you have a uterus, you can have an opinion. And then he put it back, I've been informed that all women do have one. So that was funny, you know. You know, I think we have to acknowledge that Planned Parenthood is in the business of indoctrination. They want to raise your kids for you. And so, of course, they want Disney to have a princess who has an abortion because they want to say that this is okay and this is child appropriate and we should be talking about this. And I mean, we've seen them time and again trying to get sex education classes and pamphlets into schools that are just completely inappropriate and quite frankly, dangerous.
You said try?
Behaviors. Yeah.
You mean they are?
They are. Yeah, they are.
They are. Gosh, like, Chris, you look at it, because there's also a push to make Elsa in the next Frozen movie to be the first Disney princess that has same-sex attraction. And you just said, is this age appropriate? And you guys, I swear, you better not let your kids watch this if it comes out. I don't care if it's Frozen. I don't care if the story's cute. You've got to filter this content.
Right. You know, I Planned Parenthood, and not to get too political, but we just had this massive spending bill that was approved.
Ugh.
And guess who got funded? Once again, Planned Parenthood. And again, I'm going to call out both parties as terrible. And if you were one of those people who said, well, we're going to get Republicans in the House and in the Senate, and we're going to the presidency, and we're going to defund Planned Parenthood, and they ran on it, they have completely just thrown us under the bus. They used us.
Down.
They completely used us.
How is it that after everything we know about Planned Parenthood, they have continuously showed their true colors, and not just in undercover sting operations, but online by the tweets they post that make it so obvious that they're in the abortion business. They don't care about women. They don't care about children. You know, even just last week, we were talking about that one abortionist that was talking about how she cuts the larynx, right, of these kids when she aborts them. Because so that, and she might have been joking, but it's still not a joke, so that they don't cry, right? So she doesn't have to hear them. Well, Cecil Richards, right? President of Planned Parenthood, goes and likes a tweet. Are you kidding me? You say Planned Parenthood isn't pro-abortion? Well, then why is everyone laughing about such a thing?
Right. And you get these arguments that, well, Planned Parenthood, the majority of what they do is an abortion. Okay, well, a car dealership may hand out more pens than it sells cars as an advertising tool, but they make their money selling cars. Mm-hmm. Whereas Planned Parenthood may offer more services, but they make their money killing babies. I mean, that is absolutely what they do. And taxpayers, we help that happen. And I know they say, oh, well, none of that money can be used for abortion. But if we're paying the lights, then they can do the abortions.
Exactly. They can subsidize the abortions. It's less, right?
Right.
If you are living, you are making money, and someone is donating money to you, it makes other areas of your life freed up to do other work.
Absolutely.
Well, if you like to do abortions, well, guess what? That money, it's blood money.
Yeah. So I'm so let down by this political situation. I don't know what else to do other than just to call my representatives and tell them how let down I am. You know, I'm in a weird situation politically because in California, we are, you know, the communist state of California in some respects. So, you know, but we just don't have any alternatives. It really is a tough situation for people of faith to be in because you have the one party that their platform is murder. It's abortion.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it is. You have the other party that says their platform is pro-life, but then does nothing to back that up. And now we're stuck in the situation right. where everybody's, it's just, we're funding Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 million a year, as if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it is just, I mean, one good thing we did see is that pro-life Democrat just last week won one of the races. I think the last name was Lipinski.
Right.
And Representative Lipinski. And like, thank God he won, right? Because he's standing on principles for life. But guess what? His own party rejected him. And that's why, you know, people argue, you know, we're not bipartisan here, right? But Republican versus Democrat, we have a responsibility to look at the platforms and where they stand on life, religious liberty, human sexuality. Also known as all three of those topics, truth.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, we need to call people to be more truthful. You know, while we're on the topics and thinking about it, you know, this summer, one of the programs that I have the honor of participating in is the Vox Vitae Catholic Pro-Life Camps. And it is a week long of Catholic education week for teenagers, right? Teenagers, first day is Catholicism. Why are you Catholic? Day two, why are you pro-life? Day three, why chastity? It all matters. Day four, being responsible, right? And taking your aims of religious liberty and pro-life views and taking that into the law environment, right? Talking to representatives and then getting out there and doing something, praying peacefully in front of an abortion clinic, talking to your political representative. This is what it teaches young people to do. And it also has a evening workshop series for adults as well, taking the same awesome speakers they bring in. And I just really want to plug it. Vox Vitae, if you're looking for what to send your kids to or what for you to do this summer, please check it out, voxvitae.org.
Where is it happening?
It's this summer in LA, Alhambra.
Oh, cool. Oh, is that with Carmelite Sisters
yes.
out there? Beautiful.
Carmelite Sisters. I love getting to stay with them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That should be fantastic.
Yes. I'm very excited. And you have some fantastic education. I have to tell you, I have seen these kids grow in so many ways. The spiritual warfare is intense, but these kids, man, the conversions I've seen, some kids who are struggling with same-sex attraction when they come in and who maybe come in jaded, not really interested in the environment. Chris, it's fascinating. They're like, you accepted me. And actually, one of the things I try to do in my presentations is provide the science with the faith. And the kids were coming up saying, I came in here not wanting to be here, or I thought I'd be rejected because I had different political views or same-sex attraction. And you showed the science that has made me rethink these topics aren't just a bunch of crazy Catholics.
Yeah. No, we've been portrayed as if we believe in fairy tales, which we don't. I mean, there wouldn't be science without the Catholic Church. We've never abandoned it.
Right.
And we continue to pursue the truth. And again, the Church speaking in Vatican II says that scientists and the Church, we're looking for the same thing.
Right.
We're looking for truth. And wherever we can cooperate towards that end, we're going to do that. I mean, how beautiful is that? We have to continue to go on that. So that sounds great. I sounds like an exciting week of camp.
Yes.
Everybody loves going to camp. So
loves camp.
Send your kids to camp.
Yeah. Send them over.
Oh, sorry. I was just jumping to the next story.
Oh, go for it.
I just wanted to get back to the porn thing.
the good news about the porn thing,
hey.
Though.
Well, this is actually very interesting and kind of going off this, you know, raising children in truth. Apparently the United Kingdom has litigated now that they're going to have age verification for pornographic websites.
This is fantastic, fantastic news. By the way, total side note, I'm sitting here thinking United Kingdom. You always hear the UK. It makes me keep thinking of like a fairy tale land, 10th Kingdom.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. Just saying. Anyways, this age verification for pornography in the UK, you know, I was thinking about this, even the, you know, filtering of sexual ads, this age verification, they have to be 18. Grant, the law isn't going into place right away this April like they said it was going to, because
right.
this is just a beast to tackle. How do you have this age verification?
Grant,
you know, Chris MindGeek, which is one of the owners of the top porn sites like Pornhub.
MindGeek owns most of the top porn sites, not just one. I mean, like, they are the monopoly of pornography.
Oh, gosh.
They are. If you want to know where evil is centered, find the MindGeek offices, and that's where evil is centered.
We're just going to go and take holy water and throw it at the building as it begins to burn.
Yeah, sweet mercy.
Oh, gosh. But MindGeek is actually the one going, okay, we're going to take charge of basically monitoring this and filtering. Why? Because if they want to stay in the business in the UK, which, by the way, the UK is the third largest contributor to clients for Pornhub. United States being number one.
Hey, we're number one.
Yeah, and I was wrong. UK is the second largest one. I was really interested because I think the third was Canada. Just looking at the numbers, US loves porn. Yeah, UK loves porn. Yeah, Canada. Well, guess what? Age verification, it's going to change the terms of how people find pornography, because the reality is most teenage boys don't just go seeking it right away. They start by stumbling upon it somehow.
You know, once upon a time in the early days of the internet, it was put forward that we should have a .xxx. That would have made kind of an internet red light district, but then it would have been really easy to block content because you just block everything in a .xxx thing. And it did not make its way through our legislators, because I think there was a feeling like they didn't want to create that avenue because by making it, they would almost be affirming it, right?
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight, sweet mercy, I wish they would have done that, because it's just so easy then to kind of put it over there and say, just not in my house, right? Now we have to fight a lot harder for it.
We'll be right back on Trending. That is Chris Mueller. This is Timmery Millington.
Hey, you're listening to Trending. My name is Chris Mueller. I'm here with the lovely and talented Timmery Millington, and we're talking about porn. Well, not about porn explicitly, but okay, so in the United Kingdom, they are getting ready to create an age verification for any porn, on the web. Which is fantastic.
It's such an ugly word. Just say it over and over again. Porn. Like, just look at the word. You know, here's a great celebration, though, because hopefully, yes, less young children will be looking at pornography. It used to be you stumble upon it in your dad's secret chest in the garage under the bed. It's now the internet where kids stumble upon it. They don't need their father's little hidden secret to expose them. Now, just accidentally go onto Instagram and type in women or Kylie Jenner or someone that happened to do some sort of graphic video.
You know, kind of springboarding off, we were talking about with Google earlier and Facebook, one of the things that's stopping them is the only way you can do a really meaningful verification is if you register with someone. And what they're finding is, oh, lo and behold, people don't want someone tracking all the weird porn they're looking at online. And so they don't want to register. Well, hey, newsflash, if you don't want your name associated with it, maybe you shouldn't be doing it.
Yeah.
You know, the reality is every time you log in, it's tracking your computer anyway, right?
Yeah.
You have your own specific number that's going to them. So they have that data already. They can correlate it. They can check your ISP with you've logged into, you know, whatever pornographic website, and then they can see, oh, you also logged into Gmail, and then they can find out who you are relatively easily.
Right.
So newsflash, guys, there's no anonymity on the internet. Like, this is already out there.
Yeah. And, you know, and people are saying, oh, man, this is just going to allow for cyber hackers that hate pornography, just like they hated Ashley Madison, to expose the names of people who are in extramarital affairs, right, with Ashley Madison. Now they're saying that's going to happen with porn. Well, you know, if you're worried about being caught, you might not do it. It's just like when it's dark, we are most likely to sin, to do bad things, because we think it's secret.
Right. Yeah, I huge victory for the UK. I hope you guys can pull it off. I hope you will lead the way for the Western world. This is not a free speech issue. And I people keep saying that it's a free speech issue. No, Chris, they have a freedom of speech. Free speech, as it was initially posited, had no conception of this. A, it was for political speech, right? It wasn't, this isn't about art. Art is not to fantasize over, as it were, right? I could get more explicit with that. Let Matt Frad do that. But, you know, the reality is this is for the protection of children. We've seen time and again in study after study that this stuff is addictive, that it affects brain development, that you literally, your impulse control is lessened by the use of pornography, and that your brain, you stop the development of the brain. After age 26, you should have more control of this kind of passionate center of your brain. But if you've been looking at porn, that never happens.
Right.
And so we know this has long-term effects on brain development. we have to, as a human health and safety issue, we have to get control of it, and we have to limit the exposure of vulnerable populations like kids.
I was just looking at something, and I think it was by Business Insider. It wasn't explicitly focused on pornography, but it was kind of touching on cell phone use, and it was talking about the differences between dopamine and serotonin, and how dopamine is a very self-centered, pleasure-oriented, we grab, we take, it's about us, versus serotonin inspires us to do other things, to go out, to share. Serotonin is something that lasts longer versus dopamine lasts very short period of time and you want more of it. And so it was looking at the differences, and well, serotonin is what we want, more of that chemical that points toward love, that points toward self-giving. And you know, I was just doing the same exact thing, Chris. Yep. You mentioned Matt Fratt a second ago. I think both of us want to shout out. We're typing it in. Porneffect.org. I don't think you want to go to .com. That's why I was checking. But the porneffect.org is where Matt Fratt and his content is. You can always just do a little Google search, but porneffect.org is where there's tons of scientific information, tons of conversion stories about the issue of porn and overcoming that pornography addiction.
Yeah, Matt Fratt is absolutely a voice that the culture needs.
Absolutely. And he's got an awesome Australian accent. I took philosophy with him. I didn't know who he was at the time. He was sitting next to me. And I remember it was so funny. All the girls in the class, every time he spoke, would like totally get silent and just watch. And it's like, he's married. Okay, ladies.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, YouTube's also another great resource if you want to look for Matt Fratt. He's got plenty of talks up there. And I would even go so far as to say, if you are in a position of leadership in your parish or your Catholic high school, this is absolutely somebody you want to bring out to talk to your congregation.
Yeah, and if you're a parent, put on one of his talks in the car. It may be a video on YouTube, but you know what? I pull up some of the best Catholic talks on YouTube, put it in my, you know, phone holder. That way I'm not looking up at the screen, right? And just listen. Pause. Allow your kids to talk. Share what their experiences are, because the reality is they're having very similar experiences to what Matt Fratt himself experienced and is now seeing.
Yep.
Well, you know, another topic this week that I am just looking at, and I love seeing stories of incredible heroism here. And just last week, unfortunately, prayers for France, yet another terrorist attack. They happen so often out in the UK, Chris, that we don't even hear about them anymore. But here's an awesome story I would love to share with you guys. It's a hero who swapped places to save a female hostage. Lieutenant Colonel Arnaud Beltrame died Saturday after having been shot in the neck the day before when he offered himself to release another prisoner.
Yeah, it's funny. The first thing I thought when I saw this story was St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Yes.
Just, you know, take me.
Take me.
And yeah, I mean, it was neat to see that the act of heroism. Europe's got Europe's dealing with this issue in a much different way than we are. I mean, obviously, the immigration situation there has been different. France in particular, you know, France had a lot of colonies in North Africa. Mm-hmm. And so when they moved out, they brought a lot of people with them because they didn't know what they were leaving. And so they, over time, they had these huge Muslim populations, and they have not done a great job integrating those people into the life of mm-hmm. French society. And so now you have people who are oftentimes on the lowest rung of the ladder, economically speaking, and they are very susceptible to radicalization, right? Someone offering them some hope outside of their current situation, and they're seeing it time and again, man, whether it's a person driving a truck into a crowd or shooting up a grocery store, it's terrible. And you got stories like this lieutenant colonel here who goes in and he offers himself. He does exactly what you would want a person in this position to do. He says, I'm here to protect, and the best way I can protect this person is to offer my life in their place.
There's a moment in the article I was reading about him, and this is a word you never hear anymore, but someone commented like he was inspired by gallantry in his duty to protect as an officer. And it's like, yeah, he's a man.
Yeah. Right. And you know, is there any more Christian act?
Yeah.
I mean, is there any more Christian act than to give your life for the sake of another?
Yeah, lay down your life for another person. He is looking to that crucifix this week. And think about this. Think of a real life example. Someone who has truly laid down their life. the week before Good Friday, and he was actually a Catholic, getting ready to be married in the church to his bride. And you look at the story and you think, man, this man, I pray for your soul. I hope to God you went straight to heaven. Probably did. And in some sense, even though he may not have said, you know, I'm doing this for the sake of Christ, that is martyrdom. He is convicted in his Christianity. And even the people who knew him said he didn't hide his faith. And that's huge in a place like France where it has become so secular. Yeah. He wore it on his sleeve. People knew that he was a Christian and he radiated his Christian faith.
Yeah, you know, it couldn't have been easy. I mean, it could not have been easy as a man in the military, as a man in the police force, to be living in such a secular culture, but then to have undergone that conversion. And you know, if you look at the priest who was working with them, it was really getting his life in order. You know, mm-hmm. it's one thing to have a conversion and say, I've had this conversion, but your life stays the same. You know, he was bringing his life into order, into right relationship with the church. He was there, you know, he'd been in a civil marriage, which is not uncommon in Europe.
Yeah.
But they were in the process of getting that marriage blessed and were scheduled to do that very shortly. Lord, we trust in your mercies. But you know, I just think if there's anything we need to see from this guy, it's, man, I want to live my faith out loudly like that. And God, inspire me to gallantry, to offer myself for other people. Nobody wants to be in that situation.
Right.
But you know, what a stark contrast to the security guard or to the police officer who was at the school in Parkland, who's hid in the parking lot. You know, and then you have this
huge
man,
difference. You
know, inspired by gallantry, by masculinity, by love for country and for countrymen, and goes in and offers himself.
You know, and I just think, share this story with your kids. They are not too young to hear about a good act of sacrificial love in the midst of the darkness of terrorism. Because while they may not hear it in your home with you playing it on the news, they hear horrible things at school. You know, it doesn't matter how old you are. Trust me, they hear it. And so hearing an example of a man who willingly stood up and sacrificed his life for another, and it was a man of faith. You know, I'm looking at his story. Just back in 2015, he was on a pilgrimage somewhere having to do with Saint Anne de Auray. I can't say it. It's French. I'm not sure if that's a church pilgrimage site. I probably should have Googled it. But he visited this pilgrimage site and he prayed to the Blessed Virgin Mary for him to meet his bride. And here he ends up meeting his bride. And I just, you know, you guys, be with this woman, pray with her right now, because I can't imagine the sorrow and, God willing, the peace that she's experiencing, knowing what a hero he is and that he loved our Lord and her. And that's why he did it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I posted something this week on my social media that my kid's school doesn't let the students have imaginary lightsaber fights.
Oh.
And you know, it's ridiculous. You can't wave air at each other while humming. I mean, you know. my oldest was at one point received a referral because he was throwing pine cones, not at anyone, just in general, throwing pine cones that were on the ground. And I bring that up because where are we giving young men the opportunity to practice gallantry? Mm-hmm. You know, and when you have those fake lightsaber battles, sometimes you're the hero, sometimes you're the villain because it's all playing, but you practice heroism.
Yeah.
You know,
and no one really wants to be the bad guy.
Right. No one ever wants to be the bad guy. Yeah.
Right.
You know, but you take your turn, right? And you're defeated, right? And we practice gallantry. And so where is that in our modern experience for young people? I don't know. And so I love this example. We want to lift him up and teach our young people to be imitators.
Yeah, be imitators of Christ. And there you are. Here we are in Holy Week, walking along that journey. You guys, we are praying for you this Holy Week. I know we've got the opportunity to participate in the Triduum, right? Holy Thursday, the washing of the feet of the apostles. We celebrate that. We recreate it. The institution of the Eucharist, the Good Friday services, Stations of the Cross. We'll be back next week and also in a little bit for the next episode of Trending.